Because my little message tonight is to seek and to stir up the minds and hearts of young men as to why God saved them. Now, will it do us all well to think about this, but especially for certain ones, I'm sending a challenge out tonight. Verse 15 of Galatians 1. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Acts chapter 9. The Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. Now we won't read much, because I'm sure you're familiar with the account of the conversion of the Apostle Paul. Verse 6, Acts chapter 9, verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go unto the city, into the city, and it will be told thee what thou must do. Chapter 13. The first four verses. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene, and the Mananian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That word sent now means let loose or to release. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1 for our last reference. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, chapter 2, and verse 19 and verse 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Now, I'd like to speak to you about the Apostle Paul. Other than the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd be the greatest missionary that the world has ever known. There never was one like him before, and never has there been one like him since. Now, in the Galatian epistle, this is what he says with his own words. I want to take this up in four ways. The servant's call. The servant's submission. The servant's commendation. And the servant's reward. Now, we might not be able to cover them all too well, but we'll try the best we can. Now, Paul says here in Galatians chapter 1, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me, that I might preach Christ to the heathen. He called me and revealed his son to me that I might preach him, his son, to the heathen. Now let's look at these things now in this context. And I want young men tonight to face up to the question I'm going to challenge you with tonight. Why did God save you? Why? Why? The Apostle Paul knows why God saved him. He says, when it pleased God, it's the pleasure of God, it's the sovereignty of God, calling this man Paul, separating him from his mother's womb for a reason. and calling them for a reason. What's that? To reveal his son to them that he might take that to the heathen. Now, young man tonight, everybody can answer this for themselves, and I want you all to enter into it tonight. But it's particularly, I would like to challenge young men. I'm sure there's some in the meeting tonight that your life could be useful for God as a missionary, as you so call it. Now again, why did God save you? Why? Why did it please God that your mother would conceive and he would separate you from your mother's womb? And then one day along life's pathway, call you and save you. Now why did he do that? Why? Why didn't God leave you and just walk down life, purposeless and empty, like the multitudes all around us, and die like that and go to hell? Why didn't God leave you? Why? Why did God put his hand on you and separate you from your mother's womb and then call you and save you and teach you about his son? Now, why did he do that? Paul says he did that to me, that I might go and preach him to the heathen. That's why. Now, young man, tonight, why did he save you? Why? You know, you have different ways you can use your life. You can put your mind, you know, to education. You can put your mind and soul to getting possession, place, prominence, power of this earth. But someday you'll say goodbye to it all. Someday you have to say goodbye to that. Nothing wrong with it, really, if that's what God called you to. God called you to a certain place in life. Listen, my message will not apply tonight to everybody. Everybody's not called to be a missionary. But there's young men here tonight, you've got a life to live. You've got a choice as to where you're going to put it. To what avenue of life you're going to go. Will I go into the things of the world and waste my life, my energy and time on getting things of the world? Then at the end, lose out forever. Paul said, it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb. And one day he called me, according to his pleasure, on the Damascus road, that he might reveal his son to me, so I would go and preach him to the heathen. Now, my next one. That's the servant Paul, young man tonight in West Virginia. Give some serious consideration. Ask yourself, well, quietly in the presence of God, ask yourself, why did he ever save me? Why did he call me? What's life all about? Where is the place that I should put my priority in life? What's living all about? Now, the next thing is the submission, the servant's submission. The apostle on the Damascus road with his letter going down to bring persecution upon the church of God, breathing out slaughtering and enmity against the people of God. And he met the Lord on the Damascus road in that bright shining light. And the apostle falls upon the ground and he says, who art thou, Lord? Master, who art thou? What wilt thou have me to do? Master, what do you want me
I do. I want to ask you tonight. This is for everybody. Christian, have you ever bowed alone in your closet, upon your knees, in the presence of God, and asked God from the depths of your soul, Master, what wilt thou have me to do? You ever done it? Or are you just going on aimless, you know, saved, going to heaven, won't ever be in hell, thank God, but never got down in the presence of God and said, Master, you called me, you saved me. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
Now, there's many things that the child of God can be called to. Many of them. But we're interested tonight now on you stopping and considering now. Could it be possible that there's a place on the face of the earth that's just waiting and open for a young man like you?
If you'll only open yourself up, make yourself available to the Lord.
You say, well, that's all strange. How would such a thing happen? One time in a post office in the city of Toronto, a young man was sitting at his chair in the cafeteria, sitting there alone with an open Bible on his desk, exercised about his life. What would he do with his life? A zeal for the Lord, little love for the Lord. After long months, thinking about these things, bowed his head in the presence of God in the cafeteria and laid his life on the altar right there in the cafeteria and said, Lord, whatever you want, I'm letting everything of earth slip through my fingers. I'm letting it go. I'll let it all go. And he told the Lord, if there's some place in life I can be useful in thy service. And this young man laid all in the altar and I pushed up. You ever done that?
Have you ever been to the altar, young man? Older Christian, have you ever been to the altar? Okay. Gone alone into the presence of God with the reality of life before you.
And took your life and laid it down on the altar before the Lord and said, Lord, it's all yours. I'll open my hands up and I'll let everything go.
Yours. You ever done it?
We'll get off my message a little bit. What comes to my mind, a chapter in the Bible you know well, Matthew chapter 16. This is what I'm trying to get at. The Lord Jesus, he said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? Oh, he said, some say you're Elias, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're the prophets. But he said, who do you say I am? Ah, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When the Lord Jesus saw these men, knew deeply who he was, well convinced he was the Son of God, he said to them, listen, the Son of God is going up to Jerusalem, and he's going to fall into the hands of sinners, and he's going to be killed. And on the third day, he's going to rise again. Peter said, far be it from God. Don't let that thing happen. Don't let that thing happen. Peter just said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter knows if he does die, it's got to be voluntary. No man can take the life of the Christ. Peter said, don't let that happen, Lord. And Jesus turned to him and said,
Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a fence unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. If any man will follow me, let him take up his cross. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross and come follow me. Where are you going, Lord? I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
You see, the principle here is, the Lord Jesus says, I'm going yonder to Jerusalem to die. To voluntarily lay down my life for other people. Peter said, that's nonsense, Lord. Don't do that. Save your life. Don't give it, save it for yourself.
Jesus said, Peter, you get behind me, Satan. Satan's been telling me all the time to do the same thing. He met me on the mount in the wilderness. And he tried that, Peter, and I hear him talking to me through you, Peter. Listen, what is your life for? Jesus said your life is to give, not to save. Not to save. How many of us tonight in West Richmond are saving our lives? We're holding on. Holding on. We're like Peter. Saying, don't give your life. Don't give your life. Hold it. Hold it. Save it. Ah, Jesus says, he that saveth his life shall lose. But he that giveth his life for my sake in the gospel shall save. Young man, tonight tell me, that life you got, maybe you're 25, maybe you're 30. The Lord don't come many a year ahead. You gonna live it all for you? Or will you put it on the altar for the Lord? Say, Lord, here I am. I haven't got much. That young man in the post office didn't have much. No. Wasn't near as intelligent as you boys. No. Had nothing of this world good. No. But several years later, God took him away to the sea, to a little island. That young man, just a nobody. Just a nobody. But God used him to quarry out of the mountains of Roman Catholicism living stones, and put them together into assembly fellowship. Now, just a nobody. But you see, it don't take much with God. It's not what you got to count. The thing is, will you give the little bit you got to the Lord, and a little bit with the Lord turns into much. I wonder tonight, are there any volunteers in West Richmond tonight? Will you go away home tonight after this meeting? And will you get down into the presence of God and search out the meaning of life? Why did the Master call me? Why didn't he let me go? Like the multitudes in the streets of Vancouver tonight. Why did he put his hand on me? Why did it please him to save me? Why? Gotta be a reason. Got to be a reason. He didn't do it for nothing. There's a reason. Will you tonight submit the servant's submission? Lord, what will thou have me to do? Now, if you say it, you know, you better be careful because the Lord will take you up on it. The Lord will take you up on it. Now, we'll rush along here. Now, the servant's commendation. Maybe we won't spend too much time on that. But in Acts chapter 13, some people ask, you know, they say, how do you know that the Lord wants you? I'm available, some young men say. I'm available, but how do I know? How do I know? How can I tell if God wants me?
Well, I have three things. Three things. I'm going to pass them on to you. One is, the Spirit of God will move upon you. Now, you can't have one alone. I don't think it's wise to have one alone. You have two. The Spirit of God will move upon you. Number one. Number two, circumstances will not stand in your way. Circumstances will go your way. They'll open up to you. And number three, you have the backing and the fellowship of your brethren. Without any one of those three, I would not make a step. And if I had those three, I would never hesitate.
You say the removing of the Spirit of God. What's it like? You have special lights or anything like that? No, no, nothing like that. Nothing like that. What happened to Samson? When Samson was in the camp of Dan, it says the Spirit of God began to move upon Samson. To do what? Samson, in his heart, he had a stirring and a desire to move out against the Philistines. There's something inside. Something in the heart and in the mind moving you. Moving you.
Listen, the devil never puts in your heart that you'll go and tell men about Jesus. You won't find the devil putting that in your heart. If you have the movement of the Spirit of God inside you, stirring your inner being about going to take Christ to the heathen, remember the devil didn't put that there. No. The Spirit of God moves in the hearts of young men and their minds and puts an exercise there, puts a desire there, puts a willingness and begins to move them. And that movement will be evidenced by other Christians as he moves at home. You know, you can't preach the gospel and you don't love the sinner at home. It's not likely you will over yonder. The Spirit of God moves upon young men. You ever have the Spirit of God stir your heart, brother, and say to you, what are you wasting your life here for? Suppose you do become wealthy. Suppose you do get everything you want. Suppose you do have it all. What good's it all to you, really?
I used to sing a song when I was a kid. I used to play a guitar a little bit and play some of those silly old songs. But anyway, one of them used to go like this.
How many times have you heard someone say, if I had his money, I'd do things my way? But little they know, it's so hard to find one rich man in 10 with a satisfied mind. Money can't buy back your youth when you're old, nor a friend when you're lonely, nor a love that's grown cold. Bless your song of God. True, huh? A lot of things money will never do for you.
The real vital thing money can't do for you. Man gets sick, all the money in the world can't help him. A love that grows cold, you can't buy it. Solomon tried it.
He said love is stronger than death. He couldn't get the Shulamite girl he wanted, but she loved the shepherd boy. He couldn't get it. Don't sell your life for the dollars, brother, young man. Don't give your life for the dog. At the end, it will lead you down. It will disappoint you.
So, you have the movements of the Spirit of God upon you. You feel it inside, stirring your inner being. That's the Spirit of God. But then you have something else. Circumstances. If circumstances stand in your road, take it as evidence that the Spirit of God hasn't opened the way.
Don't rush at it. Don't push yourself.
The Spirit of God will open circumstances, make circumstances open before you. put one step ahead, slowly and wait.
Put another step ahead. Move out as the Spirit of God leads you and prompts you to go, and go slow and see if the door's open. And if everything's going well as you're moving, don't stop. Don't stop. And if you are moved by the Spirit of God and you are doing the work of an evangelist right here in your
local church, in the community
where you move with the brethren, and the day you come to them and you tell them your exercise, I want you to notice something in Acts chapter 13.
That word sent, what does it mean? The Spirit of God said to the prophet. Right? You see, they didn't have a Bible in them days, huh? And I don't want to get technical, so we're going to just move quickly over. The Spirit of God moved in that church in Antioch. And he said, separate Paul and Barnabas unto me for the work of the gospel. Separate them unto me for that work. So the prophet, no Bible, so the prophet got the message from the Spirit of God. And they left the local church in Antioch, they became acquainted with that. And because Paul and Barnabas were already active in gospel work, and the Spirit of God seems to be taking these men out into a full-time sphere of labor, the elders in that assembly didn't send them for, that's not the idea. The assembly, the brethren in the assembly, let them go, release them. Because the Spirit of God had already called them and wanted them. The brethren had a choice of holding them back in the Spirit or letting them go. There was full evidence that the Spirit of God was moving these two men. Young man, you follow those three things out. As the Spirit of God moves upon your heart, step out a step at a time. And see if circumstances will be with you or against you. And will the brethren back you up? Are they with you? The servant, commendation. And the last one, the servant's reward. The reward. Before I read that, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. What is his reward? For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. That's the reward. When life's all over, all done, what's the missionary's crown? What's his reward? What's his rejoicing? When yonder, when he reaches in the presence of God, and the saints are all gathered home, what's he going to see there? He's going to see a number of people. Number of people. You read brothers today from Japan. Those brethren will see a number of Japanese people there. The one for the Lord. My joy, my crown, rejoice. He'll say to the Lord, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. Something what the Lord said. Notice sometimes sing a song. Must I go in empty handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to be. Must I empty handed go?
I ask you tonight, brothers and sisters, where are your priorities? Money's not really the real thing in life.
And I'd make my last appeal.
Young man, I want you tonight to go home and get down in the presence of God and face that matter up. What, Master, do you want me to do? Do that.
Open your hands. That's what consecration means. Open your hands and let all the world and everything that you're grasping for and holding on to, all that's precious concerning this life. Open your hands and let it go. Let it filter through.
And say, Lord, I leave it all go. What do you want me to do?